Yeah, there are a few reasons. One of them being that it's an issue that is quite prevalent in South Sudan, as well as many other parts of the world. It's a sensitive issue to tackle. Mm-hmm. So it's also not a natural issue to know how to deal with when you're a journalist. So there are a lot of tips and tricks and protocols and ethical considerations that need to be taken when journalists are handling stories that are so sensitive as dealing with somebody who's been through gender-based violence. The other part of it is we wanted to team up with the experts from the organizations that you mentioned to try to take these theories like gender-based violence that sometimes seem kind of theoretical and put a very practical angle onto it. Mm-hmm. So how to translate these things that might sound kind of just like buzzwords in the humanitarian world, but actually break that down into how a journalist can practically cover this issue safely, responsibly, and ethically.
Yes, and James, of course, you're from UNICEF. Why do UNICEF find this very important that you get involved in training these media practitioners?
I mean, as Laura said, the issue is quite a large one here in South Sudan, unfortunately. So, I mean, at UNICEF, it's very important for us to work on a regular basis with the media because we, you know, that we see that as a very important way of reaching the people and getting across the messages that we have as an organization. Our mandate is to protect the women and children of this country and to help improve their lives, working with the government also. So this initiative that we have holding these ethical reporting workshops are really important for us. Particularly, it's a partnership with Journalists for Human Rights, who have got a great deal of expertise themselves, but also working with our partners UNFPA and IRC. Those two bodies, including ourselves, are on what's called the GBV subcluster, which is part of the cluster system here, looking specifically at the issue of GBV. So this type of exercise and workshop is very important. It's something we want to maintain on and keep going on a regular basis.
Yes. So what are some of the issues that, you know, the journalists went through yesterday, like the kind of training? What did you exactly give them?
We started, for example, UNFPA opened the workshop, and we talked quite a bit about GBV and the issue of GBV, as it's commonly known in the humanitarian sector, and exploring what it actually means, the definitions of gender-based violence. Does it apply to women? Does it apply to, mm-hmm. to men? And the answer is that it applies to both. Mm-hmm. Invariably, gender-based violence does affect women and girls more than men and boys, but men and boys are also involved. So we started with discussing, you know, sort of more of the theory, if you like, and then we went into the more practical elements of how you go about interviewing vulnerable people, survivors of GBV, for example, and the best way to do that, the best practices, mm-hmm. for doing that.
All right. Laura, this was a one-day training. Do you think it's enough for the journalists to be able to be covering all these, issues to do with gender-based violence?
I think it's a good starting point, for mm-hmm. sure. And that's why we ended the workshop with some practical work, which mm-hmm. actually you yourself were part of.
Absolutely. I was part of it.
Very good participant.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we wanted the group to walk away to actually show us that they had picked up on the tips and tricks and you know, the definitions and the concepts that we had been presenting all day, because it is difficult to pay attention to a lot of tricky information for an entire day. But at least from the side of JHR, we're constantly training journalists on an ongoing process. So of course, one day workshop isn't going to make you kind of an expert in the issue, but it's a starting point. And JHR continues to collaborate with our partners like UNICEF, IRC, and UNFPA to continue to engage with journalists so that they can continue to cover these stories that need to be talked about.
Yes, and today our talking point was about gender-based violence, and this is because there's reported increased cases in Eastern Lakes, which is Ural, and we had the deputy governor with us earlier in the studio, who actually, yes, acknowledged that there is a problem of gender-based violence, and others resulted to death, actually, of girls in this particular area. So it's a huge problem. journalists, good for them to be trained so they can be able to cover this, but clearly tackling gender-based violence, do you think other sectors need to come in, or the media can just report, but at the end of the day, they can't do anything? Yes.
Yeah, I think, and that was one of the points that we made yesterday, and actually the reason why these organizations are collaborating together, because you do need everybody who is working towards tackling gender-based violence to all come together. Mm-hmm. As journalists, we know as well, we need sources, we need experts to explain the context of these stories. We need to hear all different kinds of voices. So it's not enough to just go and interview somebody who has been affected by gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. You need to also speak to authority figures who are responsible for protecting their communities. You need to talk to different aid agencies that are also committed to protecting these people. You need to speak to CSOs who can offer services, the UN agencies that are there to protect these people. So it's an issue that is much wider than the journalist's responsibility, but it is the journalist's responsibility to start talking about these things, to break the taboo, so that people can, one, find out how they can get help, two, find out that they're not alone, and three, start to find solutions, and that's what public conversation leads to.
James, apart from collaborating and helping with this kind of training, is there anything UNICEF is doing when it comes to tackling issues to do with gender-based violence?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So Laura's talked about some of the partners that we have. Of course, UNICEF is working also closely with the government on this issue, because the issue needs to be tackled from lots of different directions. Mm-hmm. So the media plays a very important part in helping to sensitize the population on these issues. So at UNICEF, we have a communication for development section, which is quite a large section, which is primarily involved with going out into communities and educating them around different subjects in quite a face-to-face manner, literally holding sort of workshops in villages and using what we call social mobilizers. So there's that element of our work, but then we're also working directly with the government, particularly the Ministry of Gender, on these issues. Recently we signed off what are called standard operating procedures on case management, for example. It sounds a bit wordy, but it is very important. And then also we had a big workshop which finished last week, which was about training social workers. So that's for us a big step forward for the government in terms of beginning to build a social care system. So there's lots to do, we're looking at sort of tackling it from many different angles.
Mm-hmm. Laura, earlier in the program when we were discussing about the gender-based violence, particularly domestic violence, and why it's happening, one of our caller came out strongly and said women of these days are very stubborn, they need to be beaten, because that is the way they can be disciplined. Otherwise, the women of today are not like our mothers previously. And it's more like a mindset that women are stubborn and they have to be beaten. Do you think, first of all, are women stubborn? And secondly, do you think that journalists have a role when it comes to changing mindsets and on how they cover stories, particularly on these kind of cases?
Well, I think both men and women can be stubborn. I will prefer to use the word assertive.
Okay.
But in terms of the role of a journalist, yes, we do. We definitely do have a role to change mindsets. It's a debate that comes up often when I'm doing workshops, and it did yesterday as well, that people point to culture as a reason to say that it's okay to beat my wife or so and so forth. Mm-hmm. The approach that we take at Journalists for Human Rights is to say that that might be so, but what we need to look at are the rights that are enshrined even in this country's constitution, even in the African Charter of Rights, which South Sudan is a signatory to. Mm-hmm. And those are legal rights given to the citizens of this country. If that practice that is being defended on the basis of culture is affecting somebody else in a negative way, then perhaps that needs to be rethought. Mm-hmm. If that can be the defense anymore, is that a relevant practice in 2019? If it's affecting somebody's human rights, we say that it's not right. Legally, it's not right. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take some time. it's going to take some time, yeah. But yes. but public discussions are what help Indeed. Change mindsets.
The longest argument as well that always comes out when the issues of gender-based violence is mentioned is about dowry. Earlier, the same person said, you know, I paid my dowry to her and she does not respect me. And then I am obliged to discipline her. James, what's your thought on dowry?
Gosh, good question. I think UNICEF would be looking at the cultural practices in the country, a bit like Laura discussed, and really sort of assessing whether they're sort of beneficial to everyone, and they're sort of carried out in an equal way. So, I think in terms of the dowry system, I'm not going to say that UNICEF has one particular line on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a communication expert and not a child protection expert, but I would say that the dowry system probably does create a degree of inequality in the country, and it leads to a situation where women and girls are often seen as assets and products that can be bought. And I think that that UNICEF would not be supportive of that that kind of setup. I think dowry systems work in different ways in different countries. So I don't think it. I don't know if you can explicitly rule one out, but I think in South Sudan there's definitely clear evidence that women are being almost exploited in a way, and we've had situations where families are sort of effectively passing their young daughters on for marriage at a very early age in order to generate money, and that happens in particular areas quite significantly, and so then you're having early marriage, which is something that we are against as an organization here. The law in South Sudan, the Child Act of 2008, outlaws marriage under the age of 18, so and there's all sorts of complications that come with early marriage and early pregnancy that apart from the fact that it inhibits a girl's education. So I think in here in this country in particular, the dowry system probably needs to be examined more carefully.
Great. Yes, James, what will be your final remarks when it comes to journalists and covering issues to do with gender-based violence?
Well, I mean, we talked a lot. I think the biggest theme that came out of yesterday's workshop was around consent.
Absolutely.
So for all of those journalists and media representatives that are listening now, the key issue is consent. So if you're talking to a survivor, or if you're talking to a vulnerable child, particularly with children, you must get consent from their caregiver. That's absolutely essential. And then with the survivor, you need to talk to them carefully. And they need to understand the implications, particularly if they want to go public with what's happened to them. So that's the key issue, I would say, is consent. And the other message I wanted to say is that for anybody that is that may be aware of gender-based violence taking place around the country, then there are many centres across the country where you can report the instances confidentially, and there's also what we call referral pathways in every state now, and that system is growing day by day. So if you have concerns, or a woman or girl has concerns, then they can certainly go to their local health centre and get some more advice as to what to do.
Thank you so much, James, for coming to Mirai Studios. Laura, your final remarks, please.
My final remarks. I concur with what James said as well. Consent is very important. And also to the journalists, again, think about why you are interviewing this person. If somebody is giving their time to share a very traumatic, difficult story with you, you must do it justice. This person does not need to tell you this story. So you have to be very, very careful in how you handle it. You must protect your sources. You must give them their dignity. You must do them justice. And think about not so much as GBV as just a separate, disconnected crimes. singular crimes. Think about it as a larger theme. Think about it as a systematic issue that is affecting so many people in this country. So approach it with care, because these are people's lives, very, very difficult parts of their lives that they are sharing with you. So as journalists, that's our primary role, is to do people justice, be accurate, be fair, be careful, and continue to talk about these issues because they need to be talked about.